Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us David Weber, who's a franchise expert and nationally recognized franchise consultant. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so I want to find all out about franchising and what you do to serve your clients, but give us a little bit of your entrepreneurial journey. What's it been like up to this point in your career, and what got you into the franchise industry?
Interesting story. So in short, it kind of started in college in my first job. So I was a business major at Indiana, grew up in Indiana, got an internship with General Electric for the purpose of getting into their management program, which I was really excited about. Basically, they would move you into all these different organizations within General Electric as kind of a management training program. And in the mid-90s, they were launching affirmative action, and I was the wrong demographic. And so that didn't work. and so once I got over myself, I decided I can build my own career the same way. And that's exactly what I ended up doing. So first job, I worked for a big corporate, global corporate company selling elevators and escalators, construction project management. From there, I wanted to really know how to sell. So I got a sales job selling interior design and decor fabrication for grocery retailers. And the reason I took that job is it was very unique and different. But I realized that grocery stores run on about a 1-2% margin.
Wow.
And if I could sell interior design to a business that has skinny margins, I can pretty much learn how to sell. So I did that for several years. Family business came calling after that. I grew up in manufacturing. And my father had purchased sort of a retirement business in his mid to late 50s. And he needed my help. So I left Colorado, which is where I was living, went back to the Midwest, back to Detroit. And I call that my real life MBA. That was super challenging. Early 2000s, the Y2K bug drove manufacturing to build inventory. Y2K didn't really do anything, so we had too much inventory in the auto industry, and we were supporting the manufacturing plants with the castings that we were making in the foundry business. And then the towers came down, so that macroeconomic sort of storm really taught me a lot. We went from about a $5 million company to a $2.5 million company in 120 days.
Wow.
And so I learned cash flow management, inventory control, and really what I learned is running a foundry manufacturing facility is a very complex business. In that same time period, I implemented ISO 9000 quality control process, which was very complex and expensive to do, but taught me a ton about running a business to a system. When you're running a business to a system, it's much, much easier to manage. And so from there, I moved. I realized a couple things. Family business is riddled with cliche, and so I won't get into that. But I decided I didn't want to be part of the family business forever, and I wanted to raise my kids in the mountains of Colorado. And so I moved back to Denver and got a job with a non-bank lender that was interested in lending money in the franchise space but really didn't know how to go about doing that. And so I worked for several years learning franchising and learning banking at the same time. And sort of in hindsight, I realized I had actually accomplished exactly what I wanted to out of that whole General Electric thing. Crash of 2008, you know, the financial meltdown of 2008 kind of pushed me out of my comfort zone. And I decided to buy a bar on DU's campus with a partner that knew a little bit about food, and I started my franchise or my stint with franchise and franchise consulting based upon what I learned in the finance space. Let's just say from 2010 to today, franchise was a good idea and buying a bar on Denver University's campus was a terrible idea. So, you know, sometimes you learn and sometimes you win. So that's sort of my story.
Yeah, that's, what you just said reminds me of the phrase, you know, you win or you, and the crowd goes lose. I'm like, no, you win or you learn, you know, and you've learned lessons that another entrepreneur might not have learned the same way because of your personal experience and your, you know, environment that you came up in. So I think that's so neat to be able, you had a touch of it here and a touch of there in corporate and a little, you know, work with your dad. So when you're thinking about franchising, I think someone might be maybe in the same place where your dad was when he bought into a business in his 50s. What if someone's looking at kind of landing the plane but not totally stopping the plane and going, you know, I'm going to kind of throttle back and I want to do something different. Maybe I'm going to start a business versus buy a business. Well, starting a business from an idea and from scratch, that's a lot of work. So talk a little bit about the thought process that goes into, I want to launch out to be an entrepreneur and what the benefits of a franchise brings to the entrepreneur.
Great question. And this is a conversation I get to have a lot. You know, over the past decade or so, I've helped over 1,000 people evaluate businesses and created 150 or more franchise owners. This idea of buying an existing business versus starting a franchise is something that I talk frequently about. Really what I learned in the foundry experience and the finance experience is franchising is really ISO 9000 quality control process for small business, right? You're yeah. buying into a system that's already been proven. It's been vetted, you know, to a certain degree that not all franchises are the same. But that's what I love about franchising. And so you either buy somebody else's business and existing cash flow, et cetera, or, and mistakes, by the way, and challenges that they have that you're going to have to fix, or you can start yourself from scratch, own all of your wins and losses, right? Or wins and learning experiences. But build that business to the system that's already in place, right? So, you know, starting a business from scratch, entrepreneur, you're going to have to learn the business as you're building it, and that takes a long time. To pull yourself out of the business, you're going to have to build systems so that you can own the business and the business doesn't own you. With franchising, you're sort of building it the right way the first time. Which is why I'm a big fan of franchising. It tends to, depending on the franchise owner, allow you to speed up the process, right? You're shortening the learning curve. You're getting to cash flow sooner. You're building to what I call business maturity, where you understand kind of the moving parts of the business, and that takes the pressure off and allows you to pull yourself out of the business. What I love about franchising versus entrepreneurship is you're intentionally building the business that's not about you. So as the entrepreneur, a lot of people make the mistake of building that business around them as the owner, which ties them to the business. And then it doesn't allow you to have that lifestyle benefit that a lot of people think about when they think about wanting to own a business. So having the ability to educate people on some of these nuanced ideas that are really, really important as they start investigating business ownership is a ton of fun, right? So my whole process is geared towards education and experience share as we go through that process and sort of helping them vet out all the right questions to ask and getting their questions answered.
Well, I think also in my mind, it kind of comes with this contrast. You watch Shark Tank and you're like, oh, wow, look at all these people that started this thing, right? I needed this thing and I couldn't find it, so I just did it at my kitchen table and now I'm on Shark Tank and I launched this business. Well, there's a big question mark of is it going to work? Is it going to fly? Can I sell it? Can I get, you know, clients? And that's building a business from an idea. But it's like, I think the personal development coach Jim Rohn was known for saying success leaves clues. And if you were to say, hey, Mark Cuban, I know you're super successful. Can I shadow you? And can I watch you build this business? And I'm going to replicate it in my idea. Well, you would, of course, sign up for that. Well, isn't that somewhat like what a franchise is, where they've gone, look, we've built the flagship product and or a store or, you know, idea and failed our way to success. And now we've got it dialed in. And now we've got this manual or this online, you know, checklist. And when you follow A to Z, you know, two or three times over, it you just can't fail. It's success leaves clues.
Oh, my gosh, Mike, that is so insightful. And one of the things that I share with people is my philosophy is to first focus on the business model that you want to invest in, right? And what are the business model characteristics? And then you want to focus on your role as the owner, and then how does that business scale? So that's kind of the fundamentals of what I share with folks. But then, you know, taking a page out of Warren Buffett's book, the other thing that you really want to focus on, which really separates some franchise brands from others, is when Warren Buffett invests in a company, he focuses primarily on the management team and their success track record, right? So when you focus on the leadership team of the franchisor, that's really what you're doing. And you know, success leaves clues. So the successful franchise leaders have built franchises in the past, and usually the one that you're looking at is probably not their first rodeo, right? So there's so many layers of that, this idea of shortening the learning curve. And you know, if you're taking a methodical approach, you can find a franchise that's the right fit rather than focusing on looking at franchising from a consumer's lens, right? So my kids love Chick-fil-A, therefore Chick-fil-A must be a wonderful franchise. Which it is. It's a great franchise, but it's a profit sharing model. It's not really an ownership model. So you might want to, you know, like, what is the end game, right?
You know, you mentioned Warren Buffett, and I know he's also known for having this idea where he goes, here's a way to pick a good stock. And it's not his only way, I'm sure. And maybe I'm embellishing a bit, but he goes, basically, drive around town and look at all the, you know, businesses that have crowded parking lots or lines out the door, and you pretty much can know they're doing something right. So take a closer look at their stock. Well, that kind of stands to reason. I was literally driving by a strip mall the other day, and I'm like, wow, look at all these stores, like nothing in the parking lot. And I'm like, that's crazy. And then you can go look at the next strip mall and go, wow, look at that's piled full of cars. So I think that's what you need to have also factored in when you're thinking, okay, if I want a roadmap and success leaves clues, and I want to have someone guide me along and tell me how to succeed, so I'm going to use this proven model, and let's look at a franchise model. Now, what industry, what sector, what, you know, lights my lights, that's all that kind of stuff. That's a, you know, I'm sure a long process. But then isn't it true that you want to look at one of the more popular top franchise opportunities where more and more people are succeeding in rather than something that is unproven, even if it's a franchise?
That's a great question. It's something that I ask every candidate in my consultation. Do you prefer an established brand, you know, Orange Theory Fitness, Subway, you know, name recognition brand, or an emerging concept, right? And these are the pros and cons. An emerging brand is exciting because you're bringing the next hot concept. Your peer network is going to be a bunch of pioneers, and so there's a lot of great collaboration and building. And I think the most important thing is all the great territory, the best locations are still available.
Yeah.
If you're focused on an established brand, those are great because the system is really buttoned up and the leadership team is very, you know, well matured, et cetera. So you have a lot of data points to conduct your due diligence. But let's be honest, all the good territory is already taken. So you get to look at what's left over in whatever market you're in. And so it really depends, Mike, on what does the candidate want.
Yeah.
And that's my job, is to help them uncover what are the business model characteristics that matter to you, so that we're looking at brands that matter, that are a good fit for what you actually want. Right?
Because
so,
both of those scenarios, the proven brand or the, you know, up-and-comer emerging brand, they both have the same franchise characteristics of do this proven model, you should succeed. So they both have that. But also is from my perspective of being the curious outsider third party asking these questions, my mind would go to, okay, if Orange Theory or something like that and a new emerging brand in the fitness category, is there higher expense and tighter profit margins on the proven brands, whereas the unproven brands, maybe it's going to be harder and you know, to kind of get the word out there, but when you get the sales, it's going to be a more vibrant profit margin? Would that stand to reason or no?
So what you're referring to, I talk about as unit economics, right? What is the revenue minus expenses equal profit? That's for a single store or a single territory. And I don't think that the unit economics change whether the brand is established or it's emerging as much as a mature location is going to continue to grow over time, right?
Yeah.
Typically you'll have a successful location will have sort of a fast ramp. First 3 years, you're growing 30% a year, let's say, and then it will taper off to a 10 to 20% growth in terms of, you know, revenue or size of the company. And obviously that has an impact on the margin of the business or what is left over to you as the owner. But again, I would focus more like if you're thinking in terms of, I'm stumbling a little bit here, Mike. It's more about what are the characteristics built into the system that will drive the success that we've seen with other brands. So I have a boutique fitness brand right now that nobody knows about, right? It's a brand new brand. But what's significant about that is they hired away the number one guy that was at Orange Theory that built the pre-store opening model to get enough members on the front end so that the Orange Theory Fitness people were successful very quickly, right? So they got to cash flow positive very quickly because of this grand opening process. Well, that's actually the key to success, not necessarily the heart monitor and the TV screens that Orange Theory has, which really was their point of differentiation, right? And so it's really getting people to recognize, again, the business model characteristics that are going to drive the results that they're looking for. And it's less about brand recognition, because if you want a business that's in a great location and is the future Orange Theory, that's what most people are really looking for. Some people are looking for the Supercuts and the Subways of the world, and that's fine. We've got options to look at. Those are good options as well. They're just different. Does that answer your question? Is that what you're
It does. Saying? Yeah. I mean, there's the bottom line is, I think from a macro 60,000 foot view, if you want to get into your own business, a franchise can give you that proven model, because success leaves clues. What is the best one for you? Okay, let's talk to through your concerns of, you know, risk. Let's talk about, you know, this is where, you know, David comes in and goes, let me be your guide. I'll show you some things. I'll ask you some questions. I'll find out what's, you know, if you would think the fitness category would just be boring to you, then what would be exciting? And let's find one that fits that, and then run the numbers, make sure it fits all of the categories. So I think that to me, that is where someone like yourself as a consultant comes into play. You're not going to force someone to go do this. You're going to guide them and ask the right questions so that they are empowered to make the right decision. So I would just say this, David, boy, you brought up a lot of great key points. If someone listening to this would be interested in learning a little bit more about what you can offer them, what's the best way they can reach out and connect with you?
The best way, I've got my website is www.franchiseyourfreedom.com. Or if you want to connect with me directly, dweaver@franchoice.com is my email. And I will happy to set up a call and have a one-on-one conversation. Thank you.
Excellent, David. Thank you so much for coming on. It's a real pleasure having you on the show today.
I had a blast, Mike. It's great to get to know you a little bit, and I appreciate you your questions. It's been fun.
You're so welcome.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.